You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time to roll out the red carpet for, well, new carpet. Right now at the Home Depot, choose from hundreds of styles and colors from top brands. Plus, get free installation. So whether you want to brighten up your bedroom, add a little more cushion to your living room, or, yes, add some VIP flair to your hallway, you can get the perfect carpet to match your mood with free installation from the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Minimum purchase of $4.99. Exclusions apply. U.S. only. See store for details.
I steal from Whole Foods. There, I admit it, okay? I steal from Whole Foods. This is what I do, okay? I go to the bulk nut section, where there's different varieties of nuts, and I fill up my bag with organic almonds, okay? I eat organic almonds. I don't eat regular almonds. What am I, a fucking peasant? No. Organic almonds. Now, they're $17.99 a pound, but the regular almonds are $4.99 a pound. So I just put the SKU number of the regular almonds on the bag. Because who in their right mind at the checkout is going to see me coming, look at my almonds. Oh, these are organic, you piece of shit. No, that's never going to happen. And if you've never done that before, I suggest you try it. Because I have never felt so alive.
Listening to Cobras and Fire, a Pantheon podcast with your hosts, LC and Baco.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, LC, and I'm joined, as always, with the currently rehabbing Baco. How are you, sir?
I am well. The physical therapy is going pretty good. I did a light sprint in the warehouse when no one was looking the other day, and I wasn't able to do that a couple months ago. So, yeah, and now I got to start thinking about cardio. That hit home right there. Being gassed after running, 30 yards or whatever.
I'm still a little perplexed on that, but there's never been a point where I like my physical health or whatever, or to check the stability or whatever of my back, I need to all of a sudden go really fast for 40 yards. Like,
well, the fast is probably too kind of a description, but
okay.
Well, yeah, and it's the very lower back. It is amazing what, once that became an issue, like what I could not do. Yeah. Like, I couldn't bend over. I mean, I joked with my physical therapist, but, if I drop my pen too many times in a day, it can be fucking blood curdling. You know what I mean? It's just like, why does this keep happening to me, God?
Do you have, when that happens, are you like, I just need to buy more pens, get more in the top drawer. You just have this, these like under your desk, you just have these ones that are just like They're gone forever.
Yeah, it's like I can either walk across the shop into my office and get another pen, or just get down and pick this. I'm going to get another pen. Someone can have
this one.
Someone else will pick it up, and then I'll take it back.
Guys, we need a whole bunch of new pens at about 4 feet off the ground at different areas of the house, of the store. What do you think? It's a good plan.
Yeah, just maybe that's what I need to do, is just put pen cups hidden, because otherwise people will take them. Like within about 10 feet of each other throughout the whole company, and then I'll never really need to worry about it. But thanks for asking. I'm happy to report that it does feel like after a couple months of this kind of mundane stretching and planking, things are starting to turn a little corner. It is what it is, man. As I think it was the Pope who said that. Pope John Paul I. But anyway, yeah, how are things on your end, man?
They're good. I just wanted to say that I was impressed. I mean, right before we started, you pulled up your hoodie and I saw just a ripped six pack and stuff like that. Yeah. Just like we've been competing between each other and everything like that.
Right.
Like who can do it? Who can be the best bro dragon of the two?
Yeah. By ripped six pack, you mean I ripped off a six pack of Pabst and I hid it under my hoodie.
Has anybody actually really purchased Pabst? Isn't it always stolen?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. A lot of bars sell it. It's a hipster beer, man.
All right. Fair enough.
You like it in a can?
I'll take it right here. It's okay.
All right. What do you got?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about if this has ever happened in a drive-thru for you. First off, you hardly ever go to Starbucks, right? Because that's too highfalutin. And you ever grab a coffee, or do you ever go there for a coffee fix?
Like, I've never gone to a drive-thru. It's unbelievable to me, though. There is one, just a real quick side note on that.
There's one
right by my work, and 80 degrees out, hot summer day, 4 in the afternoon, or we'll say 2 in the afternoon. There's just a ridiculous drive-thru line that, like, if it was any place I wanted to go, the line is always longer than I'm willing to, like, I'll go someplace else. I don't like their coffee. It does not taste good to me. A lot of the crap they sell just is for people who don't like coffee, which is just baffling to me. It's like, why the fuck are you like, well, can I get that? But make it mocha, make it iced. Let's put, you know, with the crap we've all, basically you're buying a chocolate malt. You know what I mean? So
Correct.
Go to McDonald's.
Well, I go in there for a pike. An actual coffee is what I get. Mm-hmm. Just so listeners know. And most of the time, it's because of the fact that I ran out real quick and I want to get a breakfast sandwich and I want to pay too much for it. So when I do this, I get in the drive-thru, and this has happened at not just one location, but multiple all over Denver, multiple Starbucks. But I'll be in the drive, I'll order a sandwich and a coffee. That's my order. You know, maybe $7 or whatever it is. I'll get up there and I take out my card. And they go, oh, don't worry about it. The car ahead bought it for you.
Mm.
They paid it forward, and they bought it for you. And the first time this happened, about a year ago, it's probably happened 10 times now, the first thing I thought was, they said the lady in front bought it for you. I'm like, oh, yeah, look at me, yeah, looking good in my car.
Now we're talking.
Like, you know what I mean?
Like, I'm looking for a phone number on the cup.
That's right. I'm like, this is my lucky day, you know? I must be looking good for work or whatever. And, you know, but the first
time.
Like,
I think that's Tony Romo.
There you go. I was wearing the hat. That guy needs his coffee paid for him. And then this happened again. So before I go further with this, has that ever happened to you?
No, but the vice versa. I don't know what the hell came over me, but I was in a McDonald's drive through a few years back, and a police car was behind me. I was getting breakfast. I said, hey, I'll pay for his too. And
you did?
Yep. It was a police officer. I was just trying to do something nice for the men and women in blue. I got a thumbs up from him once he got up to the pay window. But never had it where it was paid for me. No. Nobody looks at me and thinks that guy should get a free coffee.
Well, that's my point. So then,
fuck him.
So then it's happened a few more times where the second or third time I'm like, is my car really dirty? Do I look like I need it? Do I need that guy? Like, that guy shouldn't be at Starbucks and I need to pay for him.
There are a lot
like,
of homeless people in Denver.
Yeah, that drive cars.
Yeah.
And go to Starbucks. Pets. Yeah, why not? But every time, this is how it usually goes, though, is they'll say something like, that guy bought your food for you. did you want to do the same for the person behind? And like that, and I go, nope. I always take off. So I'm my theory is now when I'm getting this is I don't think there's actually somebody buying it ahead of me. I think that the Starbucks thing, it's like a social experiment because it only happens at Starbucks. And I think there are a lot of a few, quote, pay it forwards. And I think, though, that there's a gambling ring inside of Starbucks and that they're laying down money. Like, how many cars back do you think this guy will go? Will that way? Will it go three or four deep? Will this guy get it? And all I got to tell you is, I'll just tell you, if I'm coming there, the game's bust every single time. I go, thanks for the free food, suckas. And I just drive off.
Let's put it on a more realistic angle. What if the person in front of you did not pay for your cup, like you're kind of suggesting?
Right. Yeah.
But I don't know where I'm going. Now the math doesn't make sense. I'm trying to come up with a way that they're double dipping, like getting you to pay for yours. And maybe the person behind, maybe anytime an order behind you is more expensive than yours, they ask you if you'll pay for the, like they come up with the story. And a lot of times people go, you know what, I'll do that. And then they end up paying more than they would have paid for their own purchase. Next car comes up, they just get paid for their own order. They're never told. And the cashiers are skimming and putting that in their pocket.
Okay, so there's two theories there. All I say is that there's no really right way to do this because, like, if you say, like, hey, did you want to pay for the person's stuff behind you? You look back there and you're like, how much stuff did they get? You know what I mean? Like, if it's less than what I paid, sure, I'm still in the clear. But when I think about all this, too, I'm like, this happens at Starbucks. You know where it never happens? Jack in the Box. That's not happening, right? Nobody's paying for somebody's food.
I did mine at McDonald's.
Okay. All right. I figured Jack in the Box, nobody's happy even being there to begin with. They're just, their stomachs are torn up.
Whatever. I always, anytime I'm in front of somebody and they only have one item and I have a full cart and I don't let them in, I always pay for their candy bar.
Oh, that's nice.
Like, I made you wait rather than just let you cut in front of me. No, I don't know. I'm just making that up.
Yeah. Okay. But okay, so
the fact that they said, "Would you like to do the same to me?" is extremely suspect. I don't think they asked the guy that I bought for, "Would you like to buy the car behind you something?" It was like, I think, hey, they paid for it. I've witnessed it. I've never been the recipient of it, but I did get a Mitch Malloy cameo.
What does that have to do with this?
It's a nice thing.
It's nice. Okay, you're just connecting different things. Yeah. My point is,
that's better than a free coffee.
So again, karma needs to. So the karma police were not very good with me on this too. I'll get into that later. But the main thing is okay. So it's never happened to you. No. That's okay. So I just said I'm telling you right now. I'm going to start investigating. I'm going to blow the lid off this fucking Starbucks gambling ring for paying it forward internally at all the Starbucks. So that's it.
One other thing makes it kind of suspicious too is that you're the recipient. Total Wine that I typically visit, much to my chagrin, is right next door to a Hobby Lobby. Because of this, I try to plan any stop, my weekly stop to stock up on the Coors Light cans when my wife is not with me. But sure. Sometimes it's just unavoidable because that means I'm also going to Hobby Lobby is all I'm getting at. A couple weeks ago, we stop off and she darts for Hobby Lobby while I go in to get my one case of beer. I come out and then put the beer in the car and go into Hobby Lobby to meet her. And we do some shopping. And she always like tries to twist this around, too. Like it's actually something I enjoy and it's really for me. And like she'll find something. You'd like that. Wouldn't you like that? And then we'll end up buying it. This time it was a immersible blender beats. That looks like a lightsaber. So anyway, we're standing in line and right in front of us checking out is a lady and her son who between 7 and 8 years old. That's 8 is the peak. And this kid is being a little fucking shit. He is like, you know, that bubble tape gum or whatever that looks like a tape measure and it's gum pulls out like a strip.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. That's what he wants, and he's not getting it. But mm-hmm. Now, to the mom's credit, as much as this little shit's throwing a tantrum, she's being firm, but also calm. So I appreciate mm-hmm. the effort she's making. Sometimes kids are just, you're trying to just unload your cart and keep your kid to shut the fuck up. And to do that and remain peaceful, to me, is an accomplishment at times. So I felt for her. Anyway, mom finishes unloading the stuff, and she goes to put the cart away. And as he walks away, the kid looks at the mom, turns around, looks me dead in the fucking eyes, grabs that bubblegum tape, does a little spin, and sucks that fucker right in his pocket. And Amy and I look at each other. We're just like, what the fuck? Like,
you mean stealing it?
Yes, he's just shoplifted. And he fucking stared me down right before he did it too. You know, he looked right at me, man. And I'm like, and now I'm like, what the? I'm starting to think, like, you know, am I on an episode of What Would You Do? You know,
yeah.
And I'm expecting that tall man from ABC to come out and like, you know
what I would do. There's two situations here. If that kid put it in his pocket, but they were using the self-checkout line and say, that's okay. You get something free. It's a little commission for you. It's all right, kid. You'll learn this later.
Yeah. trust me, this kid did not deserve a reward, but it was also not self-checkout.
Okay,
so I'm
going.
Like, I'm looking at Amy and we're kind of like having this like silent conversation with each other. Like, should we tell the mom? Should we say something, you know, out loud?
Yeah. This is a lot of stuff.
And I panicked. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I mean, there's part of me that would be a hypocrite, you know what I mean? But that's every parent, right? We've all done stuff we don't want our kids to do.
Sure.
But not at 8 years old, I wasn't ripping shit off, you know, not on purpose. I might have, like, grabbed something and didn't know, you know, like, couldn't have it, but... I clumsily waited until they were done, and then I said something to the cashier, and I'm like, as the words came out of my mouth, I'm like, what the fuck is the point of this? What, you know... In hindsight,
you see that kid over there? He's got the bubble.
Exactly.
He's got the bubble tape.
She's like, that's it. You know, but again, I don't know. I have no rational reason. Like I said, I was just kind of panicking. Like I'm trying to do the right thing here. Do I say something to the mom, or is the mom going to suddenly? Maybe she's not this like reserved mom doing her best. She is like, how dare you fucking talk about my kid that way? You know, you don't know what you're fucking getting into. In hindsight, here's what I think I should have done. I just should have just said, put that back to the kids sternly. And that's it. And then any conversation that came after that could have been just the mom seeing me, because she was right there too, but she just hadn't turned around and walked back yet. So what's the right thing to do there, man? Hobby Lobby's not going to go broke over this, but what if this kid now is just on that's the first domino, man.
Well, that's what I was gonna say, is it to ease your troubled mind, store 765, Hobby Lobby still reported a profit for that day.
Yeah, no, actually, right? To me, the issue is with the act and the relationship between the kid and the mom.
No, I know. I think that basically, if you want my opinion, I probably would. Yeah, that's like, what kind of, it's like more time. First off, you're going to end up having a longer time there of some conversation that you were planning. You know what I'm saying? So if you just tell the parents, hey, just so you know, you
want to check your kid's pocket.
Little sticky fingers on young Brian here. You know what I mean? Like, you might want to check his pockets. I'm just letting you know. Or maybe you mention it and her eyes like get big as saucers and like, fuck, this guy's figured out my whole sting operation, yeah. right? Maybe that's what she
spend
does.
Spend $90 and steal a 80-cent piece of gum.
Maybe he's a mule. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's a whole mother and daughter.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole
son.
Routine. Yeah.
That's like, what I mean. Sometimes
up,
it's
scene.
Gum. Right. But they go out there, and maybe she returns the stuff afterwards, and the kid has muscled out everything she needs, and she just comes back, oh, this didn't fit, whatever like that. It's just a thing. It's a fucking it's a scam. So there's all kinds of different ways. You know, obviously, my mind is always going towards the evil on every transaction. Yeah. Pay it forward, something kind. Of course it can't be something kind. So I don't know what the right thing – I would just mention something to that. I wouldn't deal with a kid because the kid's already – I don't think he gives a fuck. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, clearly,
if he's doing that, he doesn't care
he's looking at me. And that's the other thing. How about that? He goes, "You're not going to fucking say anything, are you, you little pussy?"
Right. He's like, yeah. He talks to you. He's like, listen, no fucking podcaster tells me what to do. You know what I mean? You think I'm going to take advice from a podcaster? Give me a break.
Yeah.
You're not even spending your time wisely.
Oh, man. When was the last time you shoplifted?
Oh, well, just ask me the last time I went to a self-checkout line.
Yeah, right. I'm not sure that counts. As you know, maybe you don't know, because you sometimes claim to be ignorant to anything that's on Facebook, but I started a journey to become the hot sauce king of my neighborhood.
How so?
I got a fermenting kit for Christmas, so I went up to a local grocery store and I grabbed just an array of almost every pepper they had, put it in a bag, and rang them up all as one pepper. I just was like, I'm not fucking sorting these things out.
These are just terrible Cobra hacks. We're both going to be arrested by noon of this episode coming out. Both the Hobby Lobby will misinterpret this.
Yeah, oh, of course. They're not
Starbucks will think that I've been freeloading for many drive-thrus, and we're fucking done.
Seriously, though, a couple years ago, I stole a T-shirt from Five Below, but it was. Here's what happened: is that it was just, you know, everything there is $5 or less. Mm-hmm. I saw just a stupid. I think I just saw a Star Wars T-shirt, and I grabbed it, threw it over my shoulder while we shopped. Bought a bunch of candy. We went up to ring it out, and I get up to the car, and the shirt's still sitting on my shoulder. Now I did go back in and pay for it, but honestly, in hindsight, what I had to deal with that time, I really regret doing that. I'm like, I would just have this on your conscience, man, because it was just a pain in the ass with the people that were in front of me.
Well, I understand.
But I did go back, so I don't think that counts. I don't know if it was a phase or not, because I think I did it 3 times and got caught twice between the age of 10 and 11, and then I was done.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much my zone. I got busted stealing, like, I think some Star Wars stuff.
Yeah,
like,
I ripped out some Star Wars cards.
I was playing with some Star Wars figures that all of a sudden my dad was like, yeah, I didn't pay $7 for that Chewbacca or whatever the fuck it was. And then he actually made me go back to the store, to the manager of the store, and say, I stole this. I'm sorry. Give it back. And like, that was my lesson. But, like, I was terrified.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's what you do to a kid.
No,
you
I got,
you go
I got
back to the
caught.
Store.
I got caught and held, and they called my dad.
Oh, damn.
The best part of this is that I begged dad not to tell my mom, right? And I never heard another thing about it, but I just assumed he did. I told my mom that story about 10 years ago, and she lost her shit. She was pissed off that my now-deceased father, who she divorced in 82, didn't tell her in 1980 that I stole some Star Wars cards.
See?
How dare that son of a bitch!
Let's go.
Big news out of Canada, Elsie. Loverboy has dropped a new song called Release. Have you heard it?
I have not heard the release of Release.
All right, you're better off, but I'll play a snippet here. Yeah. It's true, we dress in black. We have each other's back. And we stand up proud. It's a frontal attack. It's a matter of fact. Yeah, that sucks. Anyway, good to see Loverboy still doing something. I'm not really sure why, but
they're validating those headlining spots on those Freedom Fests.
Yeah, if the border opens anyway. But Wally Gator's probably got a couple interviews with the guys scheduled up for the CGCM radio.
Another Loverboy news. They also sold their publishing and. And that's why you'll see the band at Cheesecake Factory eating for free tonight. You want a piece of my heart?
That's fake news. I bought the Loverboy catalog. A couple weeks ago. It was going to be a surprise gift for you for our show anniversary coming in April.
I can't wait for working on the weekend to be shoved down my throat in multiple different ads.
Oh, God.
Good luck.
All right, man. Well, that's our annual Loverboy news. We got it out of the way early here.
Good.
So got the rest of the year to just float.
Very official.
Float like Vince Neil at a water park, right?
I think so.
Anyway, speaking of Vince, had some news, you know, and it kind of ties into the Motley Stadium tour with Def Leppard. And
all right,
at this point, I'm not really sure if I'm actually rooting against it or if I just, because I've always been skeptical ever since, you know, Nikki and Tommy went on their Gene and Paul level of social media pimping this tour. You know what I mean? Like, oh, Milwaukee, fastest sellout on a Tuesday ever. Boo! You know, that kind of stuff. And anyway, we all know the story. COVID hit. They got postponed 2 years.
How amazing is that, though, that we've been talking about this for at least two? I think it was announced like now.
Yeah. We got to be 2 years of talking on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they don't want to refund the money to all those robots.
Right.
They're just sitting there collecting the interest till they get it. They're going to keep pushing it off till they've gained enough interest to cover any losses they had, and then they'll refund people.
Hold on for a sec. I have one on the line here. Do you think Def Leppard will still be on the tour? I'm not sure. What do you think? How long am I going to be without my funds? that's one of the bots.
Let's address the bots' questions there. They're pretty good. Well, Chris Inzak said on Decibel Geek, he intimated some behind-the-scenes knowledge that Def Leppard is going to be dropping out. I'm not terribly surprised.
You're putting it out there. You're putting out the rumor of the rumor.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think it's just a ticking clock on that right now. I'm not sure if it's going to happen or not, obviously, but it's not official yet. But, sure. You know, I know that Phil Collin had some public remarks about Vince not being exactly in the condition someone needs to be to sing 14 songs.
By the way, if you want a spectrum of shape, Phil Collin on one end, Vince Neil on the other. Yes?
You know, the weird thing is the idea
any
of
rock
either,
star, really.
Yeah, and the idea, honestly, of either one of them shirtless makes me a little uncomfortable.
Right. He's a little too fit, and he's way not fit. Yeah,
I've already requested that Ron Keel not invite either one of them into the hot tub. I just... Well, if Phil Collin got in the hot tub, there'd just be a layer of grease on the top from all the body oil. Oh, man.
Nobody wants that.
And then Vince could get it and just, you know, all the water would flow over the edge. Ba-da-bum.
By the way, Phil Collin has never been caught shoplifting, mostly because you just can't get a hold of him.
Right. He's slippery.
He's very slippery.
Slippery Phil.
That's right.
Well, Vince has, you know, he does his solo tour shit. And I saw a headline that said that he had basically scheduled tour dates during the actual Motley Crue Stadium tour. Now, I tracked down a few stories on this. I found a couple headlines that mentions dates. But so every story I read only lists one particular date. So it doesn't seem that nefarious. And it is on a day between two shows. But you think that guy should be doing three shows in a row? And I can't believe that there wouldn't be something. You actually brought this to my attention, that there has to be something contractually that says you're not going to. Although it is in North Dakota. So maybe maybe they're like, well, we're not exactly losing money from North Dakota.
I guess, but to make sure that I understand the story right, is that there was an announcement that he is going a solo tour, the same time frame as the tour.
Yeah, yes? but I could only find one date as of the day.
One actual date.
Yeah, okay. So like June or July 16th between the, and they're playing like on the day before and the day after. There's tour dates anyway.
So before you go into your end of it, but just in general, like, Has there ever been, I think this is what I was saying in general, has there ever been a band of note that's been on tour that had some member of the band doing solo things throughout? Like Halford doing solo dates during Judas Priest is a weird one. That's the only one I could pull out of my head real quick. But like, can you think of any? I can't really. Like,
not a band of that size. I mean, there's probably been like, well, like Ron Keel will do an acoustic show, and then he'll do a Ron Keel band show. But
that's still his.
Yeah, right. I mean, we're not talking Motley Crue, Def Leppard. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. You know, and I've seen like,
or even Brett Michaels. Brett Michaels wasn't even doing like solo bullshit.
That'd be the closest. I bet he has.
You
but
think so? Okay.
But who knows? That'd be. I mean, I can't say with any certainty. You know what I mean?
But you would think in general, like you just mentioned, that there would be some contract saying, "Yo, you can't do stuff that would dilute the brand during this."
Especially a tour of this size that is sold out, you know what I mean? Other than the tickets you can still buy, it is sold out.
Right. So
everywhere.
Go to your theory.
I think that Vince is like, well, this ain't fucking happening, and I need a payday, you know?
Right.
So he's just, and that guy clearly, anybody that watches what he does, that would actually pay attention or care, because plenty of people just want to go get drunk and listen to Motley Crue tunes. They don't care how it looks or sounds. It's good enough for them, you know what I mean? Right. I'm talking guys like us. If you're paying any attention, this guy clearly doesn't do these one-off shows for any love of music or passion or drive. So it's clearly 100% money with him. His whole body language and MO just reeks of, I don't give a fuck. Give me my money. So.
Right, right. Plus,
he doesn't care what he looks like, sounds like. Fucking doesn't care if he walks off early, falls off the stage. He'll keep going. You're going to keep embarrassing yourself. You have no fucking shame. And so that's just who he is.
Plus, you know, there's the chance of the whole bot revolt.
Yeah,
I mean, like think about,
the rise of the machines.
Right. If you risk it to me one more time, I'll cut you.
You won't cut me, fool. I'll cut you.
I'm more of a fan of Killbot from Futurama.
Now stand back. I gotta practice my stabbing.
But Pimp Bot was pretty solid.
Come on, Conan O'Brien.
Don't make me cut you, fool.
That's what it was. Yeah. How about in the history books that Judgment Day actually came true from Terminator 2 because of the tour being rescheduled one too many times and the bots finally flipping out? That would be an amazing end of the world.
Oh, my God. That, you know, there is a helpless feeling of being a functioning brain walking around the planet in 2022. Why not? That seems as good a scenario as...
It's either a comet or the Motley Crue tour. Yeah. Big rescheduled one too many times.
I can't wait for the debate over whether or not robots revolting and killing humans is a good thing or a bad thing. Like, we won't be able to come together and go, well, it's like, it's not the bots, you know, it's our freedoms. It's like, you know, I don't know what the... Give me some time, I'll come up with a plausible dipshit argument to defend robots killing humans.
We're parts made in Japan.
Well, the listeners probably picked up from our other previous conversations that you have kind of a trip planned, that you have a pretty big trip coming up here. But let's make it official in case anybody missed a previous episode. Elsie of Cobras and Fire will be on the Monsters of Rock cruise. My understanding is you will be available for autographs, but not pictures. Is that accurate?
That's correct. I'm in the the seeing eye chart, and right near the bottom where it says, I think it's after talks about the cleaning facilities.
Now, is the no photos thing related to your COVID weight gain?
That's correct. That's right. I don't want anybody seeing me, not in perfect prime health.
Let's answer. Yeah. Will you be swimming with your shirt on or off?
I'm going to say it just depends on how many beers I have. and if that all day shirt fits properly, you know what I mean? Like if it's that nice blue shirt, nice and sleek, and you're like, that guy looks in shape. It's holding everything in. What do you think?
Yeah. I think if you go swimming with a shirt on, it should be a Ted Nugent shirt.
I think so too. And, actually, if I swim with my shirt off, it might, maybe you're not part of the cult. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All right. Like, see, if you have the shirt, if you're like, that guy is not wearing a shirt swimming, he's not a real rock fan. What do you think? A real Monsters of Rock cruise fan.
Oh, yeah. You might stick out like a guy wearing a blue T-shirt.
I will also be a hypocrite as I will be wearing khaki shorts.
Yeah. All right. Well, I thought we both agreed khaki shorts were fine.
I guess so. Yeah. That's fine. But they have to hit your knee. Nothing above. That's a little too much.
All right. Too much skin, huh, there, Father?
That's right. Hey, man, Padre. I'm excited.
All right, well, I'll break it down here. What are we talking about here? What are you excited for?
Sure. Well, I mean, the Monsters of Rock cruise has been going on for, I think, damn near a decade. Mm-hmm. And this year has been basically in, I would say, June or July, I decided, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go on a cruise. I used to live near this damn thing in Florida where I could have just driven there and gotten on the boat. Yeah. So now that I'm in Colorado, I'm going to go. Found a fellow, I'll just call him former fan of the show, David Glenn, after he rooms with me, right? Maybe you give him some tips.
Oh, my God. Maybe he'll start his own podcast. Kind of, you ever seen that episode of Seinfeld where Kathy Griffin becomes a comedian who only tells jokes about how shitty Jerry Seinfeld is?
Oh, that's great.
David will start his own anti-LC podcast.
He goes, my 5 days with LC, and it's enough material for years. What do you think?
He writes a book, goes on Oprah. Is Oprah still a thing? I don't know.
It will be. She'll reopen her show just for these stories.
Fucking at Barnes & Noble signing copies.
The rest of his life is set. You're set, Dave. The thing I'm really excited about is that, if I think, where am I going to see Alice Cooper perform? It's on a boat, right? Mm-hmm. Come on. But that's the headliner for this year. But it's, it's all your 80s band. But the ones that I'm... I don't know how you want to do this.
Quick question. How many shows is Cooper doing?
He does just like the Kiss Cruise. They do two. So you have a ticket, you're to go to one of the two.
Okay.
It's included. It's not extra. I think the Kiss one.
No.
Extra.
Yeah. Yep. No, the Kiss, it's all included in the Kiss one, too.
Okay. But so everybody here, I think, plays two shows, but it'll be an experience. I mean, I'll just fire these off. I don't know if you want me to just mention some of the bands. You tell me boner or no boner or don't care. Or, okay.
I'll say I like my idea. T-shirt or no T-shirt. In other words, do I need you to buy all these T-shirts for me?
Yeah. So just to give you an idea, first off, it's hosted by three former guests of the show are the hosts of this cruise, and that is Eddie Trunk, Don Jameson, and Jim Florentine.
Yes.
So I can go up to each three of them and say, "Hey, I'm the other guy that didn't talk to you on the show." and they'll
They'll all be like, "Well, Jameson might remember coming on the show, but I bet you the other two are like, oh, what was that show called again?"
Exactly. That's right.
Jameson, a three-time guest.
Eddie, remember that show that we said that we made fun of you, and then you came on the show and he killed it. He was a great guest.
So
they'll throw me off. And then, of course, Courtney Cornadold's there too. So like those guests of the show, there's four guests. But we've got and guests of the show I'm excited to meet and finally see perform, Karabi.
Mm.
Have you ever seen Karabi in any form, be it Scream,
no,
Solo,
need
with
a T-shirt?
Motley? Okay.
We just had a guest on the show who's going to be doing some performing there, Izzy Presley.
Oh, yes. There you go. See, look at all the connections to Cobras and Fire already.
Yeah.
To the Monsters of Rock cruise. We had a lynch.
You're just going to actually spider it out even more. This is how we take over the world. This and then get some robots.
Yeah. So I look at this list sometimes too, and yeah. I'm like, wow, we could do all the interviews we need for the entire year right on this boat. So I'm going to say that I'm going to look at this list and look at the work that I could do and end up not doing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that I really want to work on this. I just want
no,
to
I, I'm with you. I fuck, I have fun, drink too much, get some sun, check out some music. Try not to annoy David too much with your, try not to use his drinking glass, to spit in your, when you rinse. So.
Sure. And he should have the confidence that I am fully COVID in and out. So,
yes,
you know, yeah. A good setup that way. But that's kind of a weird thing.
Is there any vaccination requirements on this?
Oh, yeah. So this thing is, as of that Monday, you have to get a test, not a home test, but you have to have a negative test from like a authorized place like that. You have to have it with you. You also have to be fully vaccinated too and have that card. And then your passport and everything like to get on. So you can't even get on the boat unless you have a negative test 2 days prior to it sailing. So I have already had that scheduled.
Even if you're vaxxed?
Yes. You have to have both. You have to be vaxxed and a negative test.
With all the testing that with this latest wave, any concerns that you're not going to be able to get your results in time? It would seem like that might be a problem for a lot of people.
That's why I need to make sure that that's scheduled for that Monday. Yeah, no, it is.
Getting the test doesn't seem to be at least locally here. But the reports I see is that, like, waiting too long to get it. Like, it might, some people are waiting over a week, which is kind of pointless.
Right. So I have to make sure I get a rapid one. It is difficult with that too.
Anyway.
Getting back to it. So that kind of makes me feel, because when I booked this, it seemed like COVID was going to end. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a weird thing to do, and then say, hey, I'm going on a boat in the middle of this, third round of this is very odd. So I'm actually glad that I actually have had it already and got it out of the way.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll just mention a couple other ones on there. Tom Kiefer's solo band.
You got to see them. Yeah, they're fucking phenomenal. Have you seen them yet?
I saw them like 3 or 4 years ago with Lita Ford.
Okay, that's right.
They were great.
Yeah, they're
amazing.
Killer band.
Yes. And and they were actually doing a pre-party show, too, on land the day before at, like, the hotel.
Are you going to be able to get in any of that stuff? Or?
Yes. Actually, I will be there that night, too, to see that.
Right on.
I'll just say Skid Row. And they're going to be doing Slave to the Grind in full. So now I'll see the other end of it.
Nice.
Box version on that and be able to compare. Is that a T-shirt or an eh?
No.
Maybe that's a handkerchief?
No, yeah, okay. Only one T-shirt so far is Karabi. So.
Okay. Winger?
You know what? If they have a T-shirt that's like in kind of a weird bluish gray, get it for me. But no T-shirt.
For Winger?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because it has to be something silly and stupid because that band is just silly. Okay. I'll be interested. Check them out. Let me know because I've seen them twice and it was some of the worst. They're talented musicians, but it seemed like these guys wanted to be doing anything but what they were doing.
So. Yeah. So some of these I've just mentioned, except for Tom Kiefer, Winger, somehow I've just never... they've never been part of those all day fests or anything like that. So that'll be a first for me. But what I will say is that what should be interesting is that Izzy Presley has the punchlines and backlines. I think that's what it is with Courtney Cordone.
Yep.
And Kip Winger is doing it. So there should be a lot of jokes at his expense, obviously.
Did they make that announcement? Because he told me that off the recording. But
they mentioned it on like one of these Monsters Rock Facebook groups or whatever like that. So that's official. So that should be a good time. How do you say Slafter?
Slaughter.
Yeah. So I just saw him 5 months ago. So whatever. Also Kix. You've got, Rhino Bucket, whatever. Little Caesar. Maybe I can talk about avocados.
There's a T-shirt. Yeah. I definitely say hi to Ron. He'll remember coming on the show for sure. Him and I have a little correspondence off air every now and then. So.
Yeah, so that's going to be a first time for me, too. Randomly Lit, who I'll still see, But
yeah, like I said, I would look up their set list to find out when they're going to play My Own Worst Enemy and try to arrive around that time, because I don't. I own two of their CDs, and I can't
tell you a single song.
No, just them. That one. The one that you think nobody knows, but anyway.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anyway. And then L.A. Guns, the true version, you know, the reunited with Tracy.
Has that not been pulled out? Tracy just tweeted a couple weeks ago, all touring is canceled. Maybe he was...
I'll be really disappointed on that, because that was a recent ad as of Christmas that they added them and Faster Pussycat are on tour together and a couple other ones. Man, I really hope. Because I've always wanted to see that.
Maybe he's making an exception on this cruise thing. It's a little different, but yeah, there's. Anyway.
That'll be upsetting. Yeah. So then you've got Sweden, you got Eclipse, who is confirmed coming 100%. They just posted that they got all their shots and passports, and they're good to go. So I was happy for that. I do. And then the other one that did just cancel yesterday was as far as somebody I'd never see ever, except on this boat probably, is I was really excited to see Michael Monroe, but of course that is canceled now. So I was looking to see the, you know, singer Hanoi Rocks and whatnot that got canceled. But they got random people like Frank Cannon from Tesla, obviously doing a Tesla set of some acoustic. They have a bunch of like a coffee shop or like bars set up too. So you have like that kind of background music too, is what I understand from some of these solo artists. You got Jason Bieler, another guest of the show. Jesus Christ, I think we're up to like 8 or 9 guests of this show that you've interviewed so far. Well done. You put in the work over the last couple of years.
Well, you were in on the Bieler interview, so.
That's true. Bieler, he'll be there. I definitely want to at least have a conversation with him because he's always entertaining. Now, one that I think...
You got to buy a Phil Verone dildo and give it to him.
I'm not bringing that on the board.
Come on, man. Do it for me. It's either that or the Tony Romo outfit.
Tony Romo's really let himself go. Hey, so we got... We've also got this one I thought was great. I want some just general questions from the audience for me to maybe ask him. Queenstrike bailed. They replaced Queenstrike, the current version, with Jeff Tate. Jeff Tate, vest and all, on the cruise. Come on, man. Great guest.
Have a glass of wine with him.
That's true. I think I should have that. And I think he's doing all of Rage for Order and Empire or something like that.
Now, you asked me, and I delivered to shout out You Can Do It during Jeff Tate when I saw him here. So now you have to pay that one back. I need you to yell out at a quiet spot, show me your tits.
Show me your tits! Oh, that's great. Or, he would hate that.
Or just put them on the glass. I think that's fine. If you want to, if it's... Put him on the glass.
What if he's doing Empire and right before like the changeover during the acoustic part of Silent Lucidity?
Yeah.
Right when it gets quiet, bring. Show us your tits, Silent Lucidity.
You gotta say Jeff at the end though. Show us your tits, Jeff.
That's perfect. It's on, because all I gotta say is that, you know, that guy has a huge problem with his audience. That is gonna just like that is the peak. Don't you think?
I think he's got a good sense of humor. He laughed it off when at the show I did. So,
okay, I'm frozen, by the way, to my picture. Am I frozen?
Yep.
But you can still hear me.
I can.
All right. Let me make sure this is recording still, because you know this is pure gold. I'm missing some of them. I mean, there's random things like buck cherry, so they'll stink up the joint. What else? But I'll still see him and then say, like, how could that song Crazy Bitch ever have been a hit? It is devoid of all melody. And can you think of any other band that has a song that bad that got famous? Seriously. That doesn't check any of the boxes. Like, I get why that song is catchy. It's not for me. But that song is just not catchy. And it's dumb. And the lyrics are bad. And it has words that aren't allowed on the radio.
What
some
song?
Of those things are for?
Oh, Crazy Bitch.
Crazy Bitch.
That song is complete fucking garbage. I'm with you. No. I don't know. They kind of had a hit with Lit Up, and that was a decent rock song.
That one makes sense, as I'm saying, but Crazy Bitch doesn't. All right, anyway, so Hardcore Superstar, one of my favorite bands from Sweden in the last 5 years or so. They'll hopefully be there. But that's pretty much the top, the main ones that I would see. But looks like a fun couple days at sea.
Yeah, no, we'll should have a good time. You know, I always reference my festival love to, I was talked into going to the I think it was my first Ozfest, but it was the second or third tour of it. Because I was just like, God, I really only like, I did the LC thing. I only like a couple of the bands. I went in the whole environment, the whole vibe was just amazing. It was fun all day. There's bands I liked, bands I didn't like. I never go into a situation like this with the idea that because this one band is there, I'm going. So it does suck if some of the bands drop out. That stuff is happening all over right now. But no matter what, it's going to be a fucking blast. I would just focus on what is there and enjoy it, man, because this is I'm looking forward to a full show recap, basically.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And I mean, you know, the Grown Up Rock, you know, Puni and Steve Michael. Right. And those
two guys who swim with their shirts on.
but yeah, so maybe we'll get a shirt, all three of us with the shirts on in pool. How about that? Podcast a row.
Our boys, Aaron Lewis, made some news recently. He was in the hospital with an emergency appendectomy. Now, I've
show us your tits, Aaron. I'm sorry.
I've had an appendectomy. You?
No, I don't even know. Is that where you update your app?
Yeah. Well, there's this thing in your body that apparently you don't need, but will sometimes might want to kill you, called an appendix. And when it gets inflamed,
never heard of it.
They remove it. Yeah, maybe you had yours taken out at birth.
Explains a lot.
Yeah,
that's going to happen. If you have no appendix, you have no moral. Is that where your moral compass is? Isn't the appendix?
Yeah, that would explain everything. Oh God, for both of us, if you think about it. Yeah, now I had mine when I was in sixth grade, and it was a much bigger procedure as far as that. Like, I have a scar down there that's about, I don't know, 5 inches long. Now I think they can do it like about the size of the tip of a pen. So, typically the recovery.
You were how old?
I was 11 or 12 years old.
Damn. Okay. See?
Missed
all
like
this time.
3 weeks of school.
Yeah. I mean, I would think when we were showering together, I would have asked you about that scar.
Well, my blub rolls over it now.
Oh, okay. That's why I didn't notice it.
It's also... This got really gross.
Jesus Christ. I was just making a slight joke. I just meant that, like, you were in a room together and you came out of the shower, but you went, woof.
Oh, boy.
Well, are you also a guy that now that like you said earlier, you can't bend over? Just all your soap's just on ropes now? Yeah. Just all over your shower?
Oh, yeah. All the soap's on the ropes. Amy's like, why did you buy so many soap on the ropes?
That's right. If that soap is dropped, I ain't getting it. No way. It's going to be there. It's going to slowly dissolve by the drain. It's just going to go away, honey.
Oh, man. Yeah, but not for long, baby. Baco's back.
All right.
Aaron Lewis had an appendectomy. I don't know why I wanted to talk about this, largely because he shared a picture of him from the hospital, which is, he looks like a person who's just had surgery. He's like, just looks horrible.
So if he just had surgery, he was wearing a headband, like Bright Michael in that picture back in the day when he had surgery, right?
Yeah, and he was, I know that they tried to accommodate him, but they weren't unable to find a gown that said, fuck Joe Biden on it.
That was the lead up for that. Excuse me, do you have some politically motivated gowns for me to wear?
Who did the surgeon vote for?
That's what he wants to know.
Oh my God! Well, to pile on, the karma keeps hitting Aaron pretty heavy. It says less than a week later, he had a kidney stone that he had to pass. So he's got this like kind of incision in his body that's healing, and he's also got to squeeze out a rock from his dick. So get well.
The next surgeon that he picks has to be wearing a let's go Brandon little surgery hat. Then he's like, you, I want you to cut me open.
Some other quick news here. I cannot believe how many people who have no idea what they're fucking talking about suddenly became experts on whether or not Judas Priest can be formed with one guitar or not. Judas Priest announced, and let's walk
through
the announcement.
Is that a shot at me?
Only slightly. it was actually, you were the first person to comment, but it was just to me privately. It was like over the next few days, I'm like, all these people that like, it's like, what the, you don't even know fucking, whatever. Let's break down what happened here. Judas Priest announced they were just going to tour with one guitar,
Faulkner.
Richie Faulkner. Sorry, Richie.
Who went through the whole.
He had a pretty major heart surgery. So the fact that he's even able to keep going is great news, but so Andy Sneap could work, so that Andy Sneap could do studio work, right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't that sound like it was Andy Sneap saying, "Hey, I can't do the tour," and Judas Priest saying, "You know what? Fuck it, let's not bring another guy in." That's how that reads, yes?
It does, but it doesn't sound like that's how it went down.
No, Andy Sneap shortly after said he was very disappointed in the decision, but understood and said wished him nothing but the best. You know what I mean?
He's I didn't really read it that way. I read it as, sorry if I'm stepping on your lead here, but the way I saw his response was, I'm very disappointed, and it kind of indicated that I'm really, really, really disappointed. And I'm really also going to be disappointed when I pull out and not be the producer anymore going forward. Is it kind of like, it almost looked like almost a threat the way he was writing his perfectly.
Okay.
I could see a little of anger in his. It wasn't like, no problem.
But the initial PR from Judas Priest made it sound like Andy was stepping away because he's too busy.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
His response
and
seemed
and
like.
And he was like, yeah, that kind of sucks. I wanted to do it. And then everybody suddenly was like, you need two guitars. Look, I don't know. It does work better with two guitars, flat out. Absolutely. Could it be done with one? Yeah. From my perspective, the biggest thing it would hurt would be the rhythm. Like, because there are songs that have, like, kind of two distinct parts where you'd either have to pipe something in or just kind of deal with picking one of the two. Kind of like Sebastian does with his band. He's just got the one guitar player, and Skid Row has a lot of two guitar parts. But I haven't heard anybody go to those shows. Yeah, you really need a second guitar player to do those songs right.
Can I be that guy?
Do you want to? Yeah, go ahead.
Just for a second. I mean, just when I saw him, and I can't pull his name right now, but he is actually a really
I can't think of his name.
Talented guitar player. He's been a
In a lot of bands, right? Is it Carrie Kelly or something like that? I don't know.
No, I feel bad because I want to give him his props, but I can tell you that. And again, I'm not a musician, but do you think that the songs for the debut Skid Row album are easier to play with one guitarist than the Slave to the Grind ones?
I think Priest is probably a little easier, but they both have their songs where you need to compensate. But look, there's ways to do it.
My point is, just seeing the Slave to the Grind, there are times where I'm like, damn, that guy is like being put through the ringer, and it does sound thin at times. So that leads me to believe that you would be right. It would be lacking on the rhythm unless you just doubled tracks or whatever it is.
The leads
right?
would be easy to figure out because, not easy to perform. I'm just saying, as far as to make it a competent live sounding thing, a guitar player of Richie's level can easily do it. That's all I meant by that. A fellow podcaster that I enjoy kind of went on defense of Judas Priest a little bit with this really dumb breakdown. It was like one of those Eddie Trunk kind of like, a lot of people don't understand kind of moments. You know what I mean? Yeah, guess what? People who are fans and go to shows don't spend a lot of time, you know, making up imaginary tour budgets. You know, they don't sit at home. God, I wonder how much they pay Andy Sneap each day. Oh, man, does he get a hotel room? Does he share one? I mean, so it was a breakdown like that. And like at the cheapest, this would be $2,500 a week. You factor that over 4 months. You know, he broke the. It's like, Jesus Christ, you know, either do it or don't do it. I don't really care. I don't know that it would be a deal breaker for me going to see it, but it doesn't matter. 3 or 4 days, like, even Eddie Trunk chimed in with some, you know, saying this is impossible to do Priest with one guitar. Anyway, they caved. Andy Sneap's back. They're going to do two guitars. It took like 3 days. I almost now I'm going with an LC kind of theory. This was all just a fucking PR stunt.
Oh, you think it's a PR stunt?
Yeah, now they look good to the fans. We listened to the fans. We heard your call, and we did it.
You know what? Fuck yeah. I'll go with that, too, because the fact is that was a lot of hype over to get some action out there, right? Because you didn't hear anything about it. And then I didn't even know that they were touring with, which I mean, I'm not a huge, I think it's because that's why Queensryche's off the boat, is because off the Monsters of Rock, because they're on tour with Judas Priest. And you know what? For a pairing, that one makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot better than I've seen in the past that they've been paired up with fucking Uriah Heep. What the hell is that?
And don't forget, in 2023, Ozzy in Judas Priest.
Oh, is that supposed to happen?
Well, that was 2021, then 2022. Oh, and
yeah. If it's a PR stunt, it's great. Because to me, all it did was kind of question, even when I saw Priest for the first time 3 or 4 years ago, I knew it was pretty much the Rob Halford solo show. I mean, it's him and, you know, Ian Hill and... I mean, Richie's been there for a long time, but it's kind of, you're not seeing,
sure,
you know, the two guitarists are gone. So then to take it down to four kind of cheapens the idea in my mind a little bit. So I think that's...
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with people being upset with it. You know, although, you know what? Not a single person was like, Priest needs Andy Sneap. They just want two guys up there.
Right. Yeah.
And I need two frankly, guys. Richie does almost all the leads, I think, even when Andy's in the band, when I saw him. I think Andy did a little bit, but
yeah, you might be right on that. But yeah, I think it was that, and I think that possibly on the other hand, if it wasn't a PR stunt, I think Andy Sneap said, "Guess what? Get another fucking producer. You're gonna kick me out of the band. I've weaseled my way into Tommy Thayer style. You know what I mean? Like that. Like I have a right to perform here.
Oh God, I can't believe that he has the clout. They would just get another producer then. They would.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Nope. They're comfortable with him.
Okay, whatever.
They're like. Do you want to do another Firepower, or do you want another Nostradamus?
Nostradamus. That reminds me. March Madness coming up.
I thought you were going to say prediction.
Oh I God! Can't wait. You know, you thought Peter Criss was bad. Sitting through Nostradamus would probably kill you.
You know what? I'm thinking that after the Monsters of Rock cruise, I'll have a lot more ideas of bands that had terrible albums to put on there.
A band that you're not familiar with, but I absolutely love, Wasp, finally announced a U.S. tour. And you know what? It seems like it's getting a lot of buzz. It seems like this was the right time, you know what I mean? And the fact that they're touring with Armored Saint, that's kind of a cool double bill.
Goddamn
and,
right.
And I'll tell you this before I get too far in, Armored Saint's going to fucking destroy Wasp every night. I'm a bigger Wasp fan than Armored Saint, but I'm like, I don't know. Blackie has so much fucking shit going on at with his shows and stuff. I don't think the performance typically can meet up. He's the kind of guy who seems like has a lot of technical difficulties. Where Armored Saint gets on stage, just kicks your ass and gets off. You know what I mean?
What was the picture that somebody posted that it was like Wasp now or Black Lawless looks like? Somebody.
Oh, yeah, I shared that in the Cobra and Fire group. Yeah, somebody. Thanks. I'm just some fucking guy to you now. Yeah, I shared that in the Cobras and Fire group. He looks like Amy Schumer pretending, dressing up as Blackie Lawless.
That was what it was. That's the somebody I met. I couldn't pull the name, the comedian. But, yeah. I got to tell you, I mean, listen, I've heard of Wasp through Decibel Geek, and I've heard they're a pretty good band. I know that they like to they like to do something like a beast, and I love that drop. So that's one. If you go to the show, you have to do the, like, in between different songs, do the fuck like a beast, that part. Yeah. Everybody's gonna be doing that. That's the standard thing to say at a show, I would assume.
For the foreseeable future, I will not be pre-purchasing tickets to anything very far in advance.
No.
Especially if I have to travel. Like, if this was a local show, I might get tickets now, but I'm my buddy from Seattle that I reconnected with, you know, we were Wasp fans as kids. We're looking at doing a destination show. They are coming to Colorado, but
I did see that.
Anyway, I don't. When we get closer to it, maybe him and I will talk and try to meet up somebody. Maybe we'll pick Denver. I don't know. Right now, we were talking Milwaukee,
ooh.
But. Anyway,
I think I'm all in on that.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You can drive us there and then pick us up.
Perfect. Tell me how they were. But no, of the Wasp tour, like, I've seen John Bush live twice with Anthrax. I've never seen Armored Saint. That would be two checklists.
That's a good point. I don't think I have either.
So, and he's a phenomenal performer always for me. So I think that would be a great show.
Now, did you listen to you? Did you get a chance to listen to the Eddie Trunk interview with Blackie?
No, but I heard it was very self. Like, I don't know.
Dollar store Gene Simmons. You know what I mean? He name drops people who have nothing to do with him. Like, I think U2 or Bono, and talked about how Bob Dylan likes to write songs and that, so he does the same thing. You know, those kind of things, and. Also, he was asked directly about the Chris Holmes documentary, and he was like, what about Chris's claims? I'll give Eddie credit for going here, because I didn't think he would. He's like, what do you have to say about Chris's claims that, he got screwed out of a lot of money? And Blackie's like, I only know from what you're saying from your comment. I do not know. I didn't hear it myself, and I'm not familiar with this documentary. Absolute bullshit. Blackie has fucking seen this thing. Anyway, so he says, all I can tell you is Chris has been paid, and he signed a contract, and so that's an absolute lie. Well, saying you got screwed could have been something that was in the contract.
Yeah.
I mean, look, and I'm not even saying, I don't know who's writing this. I really don't care. Chris Holmes doesn't seem like a guy that is a stable businessman. You know what I mean? That he might have just made some bad decisions, and maybe Blackie's also an unscrupulous piece of shit. I don't know. I don't.
Ooh, he's on the boat. Chris Holmes. I'll ask him.
Oh, yeah. See if you can get a fucking, like, a detailed answer out of that guy.
How would you like to get an updated picture of him floating on a raft?
I want
to
see him shit some bricks.
Oh, that too. So I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right. That if he's got
the iconic picture.
Oh my God, he's got to fucking hop on one of those pool floaties.
That's right.
Oh man, you know. Here's the problem: is like, they're not enough fans like you and I that are going to be on the boat that would demand something like that. Like, you have to do this for us, Chris. But
yeah.
And then also Blackie went out, and I'm just going to read a quick statement he threw up on Facebook, and this kind of sums up. The way this guy, his head works. Anyways, so here's Blackie's comments on Facebook. For over 10 years, we have not toured on U.S. soil. But starting October 28th, 2022, we return. 10 years, I'd want. 10 years I've cussed. 10 years I'd lust to return to my homeland and be a wild child, a love machine, to be blind in Texas, on your knees, and headless. He's just one of those guys from that era that can't accept that they're 60 years old and kind of just, you know, phase into the next stage of life. You know what I mean? I'm not saying don't perform, but it's not 1988 Blackie. This is a fucking silly, silly press release. Oh, my God.
Well,
on U.S. Yes. soil. My homeland.
When your name is Wasp and you've kind of painted yourself in a box with a crazy-ass microphone, you got to do what you got to do. Right?
I guess. I think people know it's a performance, though, at this point. You know, I mean, they're not 13-year-old Baco in the bedroom masturbating to Love Machine. You know what I mean?
So with that said, how many times have you seen them a live performance of them?
Never, no.
What? Mm-hmm. Wow, I thought you saw them back in the day or in the 90s. When
no,
they were
I didn't go to my first
stuff.
Concert till after they probably last played at a show I could have gone to. They opened for Kiss on the Asylum tour locally,
really?
But
okay.
I was still under the steely grip of my stepmother when it came to stuff like that. So.
Yeah, but I thought you would have saw them at like their 90s and 2000 like resurgence, and man, I'm really surprised.
They really haven't. I mean, he says 10 years, but you know what? They did. They had a show here that they canceled that I was going to because they couldn't fit his mic stand in there.
Now, how tall is it?
Well,
how can he not fit a? That doesn't even make any sense.
Okay, you got to understand. He built a mic stand that you have to basically play clubs or arenas. Okay, so if you're playing a large bar, because I've been on the stage and that mic stand would not fit on there. But yeah, they weren't exactly drawing thousands, you know what I mean? I think it took some time away, but that would have been over 10 years ago, late 90s, or maybe early 2000s.
All I'm going to say is that's the first time I've ever heard show canceled per mic stand.
Well, and Danzig had a show here locally that got canceled because his big fucking Danzig prop was too big to fit in there.
Oh my God.
And technically it was in his contract, so he was just a fucking dickhead about it.
All right.
Yeah, you could just go up and perform with a regular mic stand. Nope.
Here's my thing is, should we start a GoFundMe for Dave Brewington to buy him tickets for the, show?
He still hasn't responded now that you mentioned that. Yes, he said that he would go to his show with me. So, D-Brew, yeah, pony up here, man. Where are we going?
I think I will start a GoFundMe. Everybody just pony up a couple bucks. Let's get Dave to the show. Make him a Wasp fan. What do you say? Yeah. Community.
It's the final act to turn D-Brew into a Wasp fan.
Sad rock news. We have Meatloaf, who has passed away as of January 20th. Mm-hmm. Marvin Lee Adey is his name, but as everywhere, even from a Google search, you're just going to see Meatloaf. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you look for his passing away. So
I made Meatloaf for dinner that night.
Did you?
No.
I do have that. I know. It's like one of the stage names that is instantly, you know, you got a little tongue in cheek, little joking with it immediately from picking that name. If you pick it, you go with it.
He'll always be, I'm sorry. He'll always be bitch tits to me.
Bob had bitch tits.
Oh, is that it? Yeah, right. Exactly. That was his greatest role, right?
Yeah.
He definitely sold that role.
Definitely his greatest movie he was part of, but.
Right. He was in like, I didn't know he was in like 50 movies from his IMDb I looked up too. Small parts here and there. But that was definitely when he started acting, I think, in that zone.
Oh, no, way before that. He was in Rocky Horror, wasn't he?
Well, I know. Oh, but I don't think he was like doing acting gigs in the 80s. And I got to look it up. But he is definitely, you know, besides music, he was an actor too. But I guess my main thing of the him passing had a really weird time. I just want to share this with you. So there is a fellow podcaster out there, the Rock Solid podcast,
mm-hmm.
with
Pat Francis.
Fellow podcaster Pat Francis and his Rock Solid podcast. They just had released like a week ago, no joke, like the Bat trilogy. Like they go through all three of his albums. It just came out, and it's a four-hour podcast. Okay, where they actually break down every single track from Bat 1 through 3.
Was Greg trying a guest?
No, but the point of me telling you that is that I jumped into that, and Meatloaf for me, you know, they always talk about, like, you know, Battle of the Hell came out in 77, mm-hmm. and then 16 later, Battle of the Hell 2 came out in the middle of grunge in 1993, and how amazing it was that it sold all these albums. And I just want to break this down. First off,
a lot of middle-aged white women were very excited for that release.
You know what, though? But there is the crossover thing, because I highly enjoyed Battle of the Hell 2 as well. And I'm going to tell you, people say, like, how could that
be? You're
come
an
out?
Anomaly,
was,
though. I mean,
I
wasn't like, you know, in prison during this time. I was very aware of what was going on. That I guarantee Meatloaf sold more copies in Target and Walmart than he did at Sam Goody or Musicland. Sold plenty in both, but I'm saying we know the crowd that was going for it.
My point is, of going into that, is that when we talk about, you know, the rock world has lost somebody and stuff, mm-hmm. like that, I'm going to tell you that the rock world has not lost somebody. This is not a disrespect to him. I find Meatloaf's music in Escape majestic. There are some amazing songs. He's got when he brings it, he brings an amazing voice. But let's just face it. The people that say, like, Battle of Hell 2, what a huge phenomenon it was, and how many albums he sold in the middle of different type of music. You know what? What also sells in the middle of different times, what also sells is show
Celine
tunes.
Celine Dion.
Yes, show tunes. I mean, this we're talking about, you know what also was popular in 1993? Cats, you know, Phantom of the Opera, Rent. Like, he is a Broadway performer with some guitar.
I agree with that, music. But when you say those things are popular, like, only people in New York could really experience any of that stuff.
No, you buy the soundtracks. You buy movie soundtracks. Okay. You can still have all that stuff. But that's,
by the way, he has a shit ton of acting credits that go back, well, starting at 62, but really cranking up in 75. So, pretty regular bit roles throughout the 80s and 90s and all that stuff. So, yeah, I know I'd seen him in a couple other things. When I saw him in Fight Club, I didn't think, wow, he can act too. But anyway, back to the music, though. I still have the copy of Bat Outta Hell my sister got from Columbia House in the late 70s, and it's beat to fuck, but that album to me is like almost like that first Boston record where it's like you almost don't need to own it to know every fucking song on it, you know what I mean? It was everywhere. I have a coworker that like 10 years ago told me he didn't know the song Paradise by the Dashboard Lights. And he's like, look, I don't listen to, like, his excuse was bullshit, because to me, you don't have to be a fan of the music. You don't have to be someone who listens to one radio station to know that song. That song just permeates and is fucking everywhere. You go to a fair, you're going to hear somebody play it. If you're out at a karaoke bar, somebody's fucking singing it that night. That song just is everywhere. It's been in tons of commercials, movies.
I think it evaporated in the night. For me, it was almost like the whole, I only heard it at like dances and stuff like that. Like that was,
but
like
you
the thing
heard
that
were, it. I heard it point,
then,
yeah.
But then it kind of went away. It was like the whole thing where Bohemian Rhapsody had a resurgence that came back again, like twice, Wayne's World and this. But Paradise City kind of like fell off of classic rock radio.
Paradise by the Dashboard Lights.
That's what I meant to say. Paradise by the Dashboard Light. But it did teach me. That was the first time I knew the stages of getting a hand job versus a blow job and stuff like that. Right? Like that. I didn't know first base through. Through home run until Meatloaf taught me. Thank you, Meatloaf.
Yeah.
But even that's a straight up showstopper from a Broadway. I am.
Hmm.
I mean, it's just a black screen for me, but am I moving on your end?
Yep.
Okay. It's for me, it's just a Broadway musical, that whole thing. And even Bet Out of Hell. Like,
absolutely.
The first track is fucking phenomenal. Great song. And then from that point forth, you can dig the music, but this ain't rock and roll anymore.
No,
this is showbiz, baby. Right? From tracks 2 through 7.
Yeah, no, and my two favorite songs are 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad, and the last track,
Crying Out Loud.
For Crying Out Loud, yeah.
Okay.
And I think For Crying Out Loud is probably in my for me that's the best vocal he's done. And by the way, that's not a shot at any other vocal. The guy was an amazing singer. There's no doubt about that.
Right before he died, my point is, I just had this Meatloaf resurgence.
Yeah.
Which is a funny thing. Like, I listened to that 4-hour podcast.
That's one of those classic bands that I think you need to just embrace and let the world know that you love fucking Meatloaf.
Fine. I can't, but I listened to a 4-hour podcast on it. And I will tell you that there are two songs out of Bet Out of Hell 3 that I think are just as good as his other stuff if you like his stuff. And that I would stress to check out that one has 14 tracks, 7 of them are written by Jim Steinman. And the others are a mishmash of Desmond Child plus Nikki Sixx and John Five are in that one. It's fucking weird. But there's a song called Blind as a Bat, and there's also one called Bad for Good, which are as good or better than those first two albums. And I find Meatloaf to be an escape. It's so over the top that you can just forget everything and listen to the ridiculousness. And I will even forgive them the whole the use of parentheses as well, which I'm very angry about normally.
Yeah, I think Fall Out Boy, where their song titles were influenced heavily by Jim Steinman.
Yes. So part of that of Bat Out of Hell 2 that I always thought was insane, but I've never heard it really come up in any conversation, was a song called Wasted Youth, which is not really. I think it is Jim Steinman doing the actual spoken word part.
I think you're right, yes.
But it's this, do you recall this? It was basically this insane thing where he was smashing a guitar and like almost going on a murdering spree. And it's like over 2 minutes long.
I remember everything!
I remember every little thing as if it happened only yesterday. I was barely 17 and I once killed a boy with a Fender guitar. I don't remember if it was a Telecaster or a Stratocaster, but I do remember that it had a heart of chrome and a voice like a horny angel. I don't remember if it was a Telecaster or a Stratocaster, but I do remember that it wasn't at all easy. It required the perfect combination of the right power cords and the precise angle from which to strike. The guitar bled for about a week afterward. And the blood was zoo, dark and rich, like wild berries. The blood of the guitar was Chuck Berry red. The guitar bled for about a week afterward, but it rung out beautifully. And I was able to play notes that I had never even heard before. So, I took my guitar and I smashed it against the wall. I smashed it against the floor. I smashed it against the body of a varsity cheerleader. Smashed it against the hood of a car. Smashed it against the 1981 Harley Davidson. The Harley howled in pain. The guitar howled in heat. And I ran up the stairs to my parents' bedroom. Mommy and Daddy were sleeping in the moonlight. Slowly, I opened the door, creeping in the shadows right up to the foot of their bed. I raised the guitar high above my head, and just as I was about to bring the guitar crashing down upon the center of the bed, my father woke up screaming, "Stop! Wait a minute! Stop it, boy! What do you think you're doing? That's no way to treat an expensive musical instrument!" And I said, "God damn it, Daddy! You know I love you, but you got a hell of a lot to learn about rock and roll."
Yeah, and it's the song is mostly him talking, right? Like, or at least half of it, you know?
Yeah, it's like, again, like a Broadway part of a show that would be an intro, like an interlude in a story,
yeah,
whatever like that, an intro.
So I don't think it's, does it lead into a song? Because I'm guessing I never realized it was a separate song then.
It goes into, I think, Louder Than Everything Else,
okay,
or something like that, which also starts with the song, the term Wasted Youth.
Okay.
Anyway, the song is Madness. He basically is this guy is smashing a guitar. He's coming up with new chords he's never heard before. It's bleeding Chuck Berry red, all this kind of stuff. And he's basically almost ends with him murdering his parents with the guitar.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. Like I said, my buddy's mom, who liked to party,
she would play that. So as a prank, during
you know
college,
what I mean, right?
my roommate at the time, watch out, David Glenn, do you know how you can like lock somebody in a room by putting like a piece of wood or cardboard?
Like, yeah, I've seen it done like with a coin or a penny or something like that, where it just kind of shims it tight.
Yeah. There you go. So we had it where he couldn't get out of his own dorm room, and we put the speakers right up to the bottom of the door frame, and we put in a 2.5 minute loop this fucking song where he was wasted. He was in and out of sleep like all night. Just imagine this madness going on a loop. Love you, Sheldon.
What about you guys? How did you get away from it? I mean, that sounds like you're torturing yourself.
Oh, we're in the fraternity. We just went to the other floor.
Oh, okay. Oh, in the fraternity. That must be nice.
Yeah, That's right. You know, it's a good fraternity if there's
Daddy paid for
on
it.
Cue. We had just robbed a middle-aged white woman of her CD collection. We queued that up. That's it, man. Just that respect the man. This is the segment we're just going to call Deep Loaf, because I went deep on the loaf. I'd like to do a playout to feature Blind as a Bat as a playout song, unless you want to do Crying Out Loud, whatever.
No, I'll let you pick. You want Blind as a Bat?
Yeah, let's play out the loaf, rest in peace, with a little bit of a lesser known song off of Battle of the Hell 3 by Desmond Child, doing his best Jim Steinman work, Blind as a Bat. You want to get out of here?
Yeah, man, let's get out of here. It's been fun.
All right, cool. Rock's not dead.
But I won't do that.
I am not afraid to show you who I am. And I am not ashamed of my life. Though I've walked alone down this cold and soulless road, I've always felt you deep in my bones.
Get a do this for me. Get a Corona t-shirt and get a Corona hat like the one you're wearing.
Ooh,
and then just walk around and get like a name tag that says Tony.
And Tony.
Tony Romo.
Oh, I see.
And then
here we go.
Post for pictures with people. I guarantee some stranger is going to like, I met Tony Romo on Monsters of Rock Cruise.
I don't think that's going to happen, but we can go with that.
It's time to roll out the red carpet for, well, new carpet. Right now at the Home Depot, choose from hundreds of styles and colors from top brands. Plus, get free installation. So whether you want to brighten up your bedroom, add a little more cushion to your living room, or yes, add some VIP flair to your hallway, you can get the perfect carpet to match your mood with free installation from the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Minimum purchase of $4.99. Exclusions apply. U.S. only. See store for details.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.